I think I'm nasally because I had a lot of buffalo wings.
I'm like buffalo.
It makes my nose runny.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm congested because I had so many buffalo wings.
As you should. I sound like I'm in an empty room because I am. Angrier. Furious.
For context, basically what's happening right now is for Christmas, my brother got me one of those flippy octopus things where it's like happy and angry, except this one's angry and furious because he was like, I thought that was more accurate for you. It works out so well. Yeah, so thanks, Ant, for that, Anthony. I don't necessarily want to dedicate this episode to our new patron because it's vile as fuck. I will say, let's put it this way. This episode is sponsored by our new patron, my mother, whose name happens to be the same name as the case I'm covering.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Mary.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone say hi to Mary. Anyway, I'm in a weird mood today. I'm so sorry. I did want to address, like, before I kind of jump into this, that we did finally figure out what we're going to do for our merch shop. I think it's a bit non-traditional than
I would say that
other podcasts. So instead of having our own website or anything, one, it's way too expensive. Two, I feel like we don't really have the amount of creativity that we would want on our own website. And so we kind of decided that Etsy would be a good place for us because we can use printing services to make t-shirts and shit like that. But then that way, Addie and I can also sell our own art and not really worry about, you know, having to have a separate website to put everything up on there. So I think for now, it's a good place for both of us to kind of express our art, be able to sell our own art, and going to be more personal than just a podcast website.
Right. It's going to be like a conglomerate of just podcast related things and then some of just our art and things that we've created, maybe themed towards a podcast, but also some things that maybe not be themed.
Yeah. Because, I mean, for me, like, I have so many things that I've made that I meant to sell and then I haven't. And so I think it'll be nice for our listeners who, you know, care about us or just love what we do to be able to have a piece of our art in their home. And because you and I have different personalities and different styles, I think it'll be cute. We pretty much will probably have something for everyone up there. Mm-hmm. So that should be up in the next, I want to say, month or two. I know that's a long time, but to get all the designs, like, on whatever we want, like t-shirts. I made a mask, but I want to get everything up and out at once. I don't want to kind of slowly add things and make it this long, grueling task. So
I'm
going to take my time with it and then just put it up whenever. I feel like there's enough designs on shirts and stuff that we can put up. So.
Oh, yeah. I also did want to say, I know we spoke briefly about this, but I sent out a poll on Twitter about interest in using the spaces feature on that.
Oh, right.
So if you seem, I've never used it, but I'm interested because I feel like it's a cool little platform and it's a little bit more relaxed than, I don't know, the podcast or, I mean, our Instagram is not relaxed at all.
It's so chaotic.
Very chaotic, which I love personally. I feel like it'd be like a cool interactive thing to just like chat, talk about things maybe outside of the podcast, talk about podcast ideas if people have them, and just like a way to connect more with people who listen to us.
Definitely hop on and like ask us questions and stuff like that, so that would be 100%.
So if that sounds like, you know, you're a listener of this podcast and you enjoy us, you want to know more, maybe check out our Twitter. And I don't know if that poll will be up. It's only a 24-hour poll, but let me know if that's
something. We'll post another one maybe. I don't know how Twitter works. I don't run
and
the Twitter.
We can we can figure out maybe a schedule or something in the near future to try to get that going and see if we can hop on there and chat a little bit. Even if it's like two people show up, then
it's still two people that we know care.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that would be cool.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, wow.
You okay? Septum.
Yeah, I just...
Oh, right, you changed.
I poked myself.
Oh, with the sharp part of it.
I forget that I just got a new septum ring. This is, like, so off topic.
No, I was hoping you'd talk about it because I was going to bring it up.
Oh, so I got my septum pierced back in November, and today is a Puerto Rican tradition called Three Kings. The day that we're recording this is January 6th. And so the tradition goes that, you know, the three kings went to go give, like, Jesus gifts or whatever. And so on this day, like, the three kings come and, like, leave gifts for you under your bed or something. And so my mom actually got us gifts, which I was kind of surprised because I feel like we haven't celebrated Three Kings in, like, forever. But I got a new septum ring, which I was very excited about because I've just had the standard one that, you know, my standard jewelry. And it's this dainty little, like, I feel like a lot of people have them, but it's got, like kind of, like, spikes on the bottom. And it, like, goes all the way around. It's just, like, a clip that you put in. Like, you unclip it, put it in, and then, like, clip it again. And so I can't, like, flip it or anything, which is, like, normally what I would do. Like, when I'm playing with it, I just, like, flip it back and forth. And so sometimes I forget, and I'm just like, oh, and then I, like, poke myself in the hand. Or, like, I just poked myself in my shoulder because I was like, oh, let me just jab my nose in my arm really quick.
You're so pretty.
Shut up.
Well, speaking of dates, you said that it's the 6th, and that just reminded me that the day this comes out is going to be the podcast 6 month old.
Yeah.
I don't want to say anniversary because that sounds stupid, but the podcast will be six months old.
It's the half birthday.
When it comes out. And I don't know. I'm just very excited about that for some reason. I don't know. I feel like it's a big accomplishment for me to keep up with something for 6 months because my thing, I'm notorious for getting into something, getting really good at it, and then quitting very abruptly. And I would like to thank you because I think that if you did not join, I definitely would not have been continuing.
Mm.
And I think I probably would have quit shortly after you started. But
well, I love doing this with you, and I feel like, I don't know, I feel like this is your baby, but I'm, like, the fun aunt who, like, also gets to, like, grow with this baby, so.
I'm hoping that later on, like, once you hit a year, once we hit a year on this, you'll feel less like it's my baby.
Yeah,
just because I started it doesn't make it any less yours than mine.
No, I know, but I don't know, either way. I still love doing this, and this is, like, given me motivation to do things during this period of time in my life when nothing has been going on. So, and I mean, it opens me up to the world of true crime a little bit more.
I was going to say the world of how horrible the world is, but, you know, that works too.
Yeah, well, yes, that as well, which maybe is a good thing, but also maybe is a bad thing. Either way, I like it. At least I learn a lot. I mean, I know way too much information about Madison Square Garden now.
Oh, right, because of
Sleepy Hollow.
Yes, the cases you've done. That's the thing, is once you learn about them, they kind of stick with you. I feel like before I started this podcast, I couldn't really retain information from different cases. I would kind of get them confused. And then once I go super in-depth and study them and research them and talk about them, I'm able to just very quickly think of exactly who it was and relate other things to it. So yeah. Anywhoozy, I'm gonna dive into this. I mean, we did have a fairly long intro like we usually do. It wouldn't be us without it, but this is a doozy. I do have 4 pages of notes on it.
Oh, wow.
And that's how much I had for Baseline Killer, and that was 2 parts. And I am a little concerned because I think this is going to be a long episode because the last thing I want is to actually split this into 2 parts.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because of, I don't think you guys could handle it if you had to wait for a second part. And it's all bad, basically. So I feel like I had something else to say about it. and I don't remember what it was.
Trigger warning, possibly?
No, not necessarily. Yeah, actually, there's children involved. That's kind of the big thing. But what I did want to say, like, the reason it's going to be longer is because I know that there's going to be a lot for you and I to unpack. And it's just going to be a lot for us to talk about. And so if you feel at any point you need a break or need to interrupt or interject with just a what the fuck is happening, please do. Like, okay. Please stop me if I'm blowing through this too fast.
Okay.
So today I will be talking about Mary Bell. I told Addie a little bit about this, just like the very, very, very bare minimum of what it was,
she
just because I was venting.
A warning, and I was like, oh, geez.
Yeah, so if you, I don't know, just big trigger warning all around, I guess. There are children, a lot of children involved. So Mary Flora Bell was born on May 26th, 1957 in Corbridge, England. Mary's mother, Elizabeth, at the time of her birth, was 16 years old, and she told doctors, "Take that thing away from me," when they tried to put Mary in her arms when she gave birth to her.
Oh, wow.
Elizabeth was a well-known sex worker, and she frequently went on business trips to Glasgow, Scotland, leaving Mary with her father. Elizabeth's husband at the time was William Bell. He was an alcoholic and a criminal with an arrest record for violent crimes. They were married after Mary's birth, but it's unknown if William is actually Mary's father.
Mm.
According to Mary's aunt, I believe it was Elizabeth's sister, she was unwanted and neglected as a child. She suffered several injuries due to negligence as a baby and a toddler, which led Elizabeth's family to believe she was intentionally hurting Mary or trying to kill her.
Oh, wow.
Around 1960, when Mary was three, Elizabeth actually dropped her out of a window. It was a first-story window, so luckily she survived, but she still intentionally dropped her baby out of a window.
Right. Oh, my God.
On another occasion, Mary had overdosed on sleeping pills that her mother had persuaded her into taking. I was reading a book. I wasn't reading the book. I was kind of skimming it because there was a lot. And I forgot what it's called. Mm-hmm. I'll find it and, like, tell you what it is in the episode notes. But there was a lot of, what do you call it? Just, like, testimony from various family members that said that Mary had always, quote, accidentally come across pills that she shouldn't have been able to get to. Like, there was one family member who had pills, like, literally in the top cabinet behind something in a container.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow she still got them because Elizabeth was finding them and giving them to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, just not great. Another time, Elizabeth went to an adoption center with Mary, and there was this woman who they denied a child because she did not have the mental capacity to have a child. And so Elizabeth literally was like, "Hey, do you still want a child?" And then gave Mary to this random stranger, like I said, who is deemed too mentally unstable to have her own child.
Right.
And so Elizabeth's sister literally had to go search for Mary to, like, bring her back. And so Elizabeth's family members, like, all the time would try to take Mary into their custody, but Elizabeth said no. So she was constantly trying to get rid of her child, but didn't want anyone in her family to have her.
Mm.
The reason for this is because by the time Mary was four, Elizabeth started allowing her clients to sexually abuse her daughter.
Oh, man.
And she was making more money off of it.
Oh, shit.
So, between 4 and 8 years old.
Wow.
Her mother was basically using her in her prostitution. So, as if all of this didn't suck enough, Mary had witnessed her best friend get run over and killed by a bus at only 5 years old.
Oh, my God.
By 1966, so when Mary was like nine, William and Elizabeth had three more children, but none of them had been through really what Mary went through, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And by the age of 10, Mary became extremely violent, manipulative, and withdrawn from her surroundings. She displayed sudden mood swings and was a chronic bedwetter, which a lot of people, like, I included that, I don't know why, but that was included in a lot of articles because people think it makes you sociopath. It's not linked to being a sociopath or a psychopath.
I think of it as like a trauma response.
Yeah, it's
like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, that's what I wrote down. It's just linked to emotional distress in general, and most people that are chronic bedwetters grow up to be fucked up because they had emotional distress growing up.
Yeah.
Mary had violent fits towards other children where she would try to strangle or suffocate them if she got upset.
Oh, wow.
One time she tried to choke a little girl by shoving sand down her throat and blocking her trachea with sand. Yeah. So not...
Yikes.
Not great. And she's 10.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
All of this is the, like, 10 years old. Everything I'm about to read you. The next, like, 3 pages of notes is all when she's 10 years old. All
right.
So, since Mary was a fucking lunatic, none of the kids wanted to hang out with her except for Norma Bell, who had no relation to her, but Norma was her next door neighbor. So they had the same last name, but no relation. But that's probably what drew them together. They're like, oh, we have the same last name. Let's be friends type thing. So Norma was 13 years old, by the way. So she was only about 3 years older.
Okay.
By 1968, Mary's peers had learned her mannerisms. They learned that when she would shake her head, immediately followed by staring at someone, whoever she ended up staring at would always become her next target of attack.
Whoa. So this must have been happening often if kids could pick up on...
Oh, yeah.
That.
Well, and everyone was scared of her, so any move that she made, everyone looked at her and watched her. On May 11th, 1968, a 3-year-old boy was injured by falling from a 7-foot-tall air raid shelter. He had severe...
Oh, my God.
He had a severe laceration on his head, but his parents thought it was an accident. The boy later informed police that he was playing with Norma and Mary, and one of them pushed him, but he's not sure which one. The night of the fall, 3 families of little girls complained to police that Mary and Norma tried to strangle their children.
Oh my God.
Norma and Mary were brought in for questioning, but they both denied being involved with the air raid shelter incident. They both claimed that they had found the little boy bleeding from a head wound when, like, he was already on the ground and bleeding when they got there. Mary denied any involvement in the attempted strangling of the 3 girls, but Norma stated to police, quote, Mary went to one of the girls and said, what happens if you choke someone? Do they die? Then Mary put both hands around the girl's throat and squeezed. The girl started to go purple. I told Mary to stop, but she wouldn't. Then she put her hands around Pauline's throat and she started going purple as well. Another girl, Susan Cornish, came up and Mary did the same thing to her.
Holy mother of pearl. So she's just like going around strangling little girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like 10 at this point.
She's 10.
Oh my God.
Local authority took note of Mary's violent nature, but both girls were given a warning due to how young they were.
Yeah.
On May 25th, 1968, at 3:30 p.m., 4-year-old Martin Brown was found dead in the bedroom of an abandoned house by 3 local schoolboys.
No.
He was lying on his back with blood and saliva coming out of his mouth.
Oh, man.
There was no sign of a struggle, but there was an empty pill bottle that led police to believe he had accidentally poisoned himself, thinking that the pills were candy or something. A local workman who was nearby, basically, like, this street was pretty busy, so I'm sure these boys were, like, yelling for help, and that's how these people showed up. Mm-hmm. And so a local man came by, and he tried giving Martin CPR, but unfortunately, he couldn't be revived. As this man was performing CPR, Mary and Norma showed up in the doorway of the bedroom, but the man kicked them out and told them to go away. The girls then went to Martin's Aunt Rita's house and informed her that Martin had an accident, but they couldn't be sure it was him because he was covered in blood. I'm going to talk a bit about Martin, just so, like, I don't know. I mean, he was 4. There's not a whole lot about him, but he was just, like, a little ray of sunshine, and I found a picture of him, and I just wanted to cry. He's just so cute. The morning of his death, Martin allowed his parents, June and Georgie, to sleep in and took care of his 1-year-old sister, Linda.
What a sweetheart.
I know. He would feed her milk and a slice of bread every morning on the weekends to help his parents out, since they never got to sleep in because they were both working every single day.
When I was 4, I was a little shitball. And he's, like, helping his parents out with the baby.
Yeah, because that's probably the age difference between you and your brother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a little, just a little cherub. So that morning, after he fed her and gave her her milk, he dressed Linda and he brought her into his parents' room before going into the kitchen and having Sugar Pop cereal, which was his favorite cereal for breakfast. He then grabbed his raincoat and yelled to his mother the last words of his she'd ever hear. Quote, "I'm away, Mom. Ta-ra, Georgie."
Aww.
So then he just went for a walk and explored the town. I mean, it's the late 60s. Like,
yeah,
kids are just walking around. It's not weird back then. I don't know if I mentioned that this was in England, too.
Yeah,
this
isn't in the States. Okay. Earlier you did.
Okay. His Aunt Rita, who Mary and Norma had visited, she said, quote, "Everybody was his friend."
Stop.
He was just, like, the sweetest little gem.
Aww.
Everybody was his friend.
Baby.
So an autopsy of Martin's body concluded that the cause of death was undetermined.
Mm.
There were no signs of violence, but the theory of poisoning was disproven, leaving the death to be deemed an accident.
Hmm.
If you haven't figured it out, Mary murdered Martin.
Mm-hmm.
She had strangled him to death before going to Norma's house and bringing her back to show her the body.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. And this was the day before she turned 11. So this was the day before her birthday.
Oh my gosh.
So the next day, on May 26th, on her 11th birthday, Mary and Norma broke into a nearby nursery and vandalized it. They got into the building by peeling off roof tiles, and when they got inside, they tore up books, flipped desks over, and they smeared ink and paint all over the nursery.
Oh my gosh.
The following day, the staff discovered that there had been a break-in and called authorities. And upon arrival, the police found 4 notes that seemed to claim responsibility for Martin's murder.
Hmm.
I kind of translated them into actual English, because there's a lot of misspellings and stuff. It's very clearly written by children
mm-hmm.
who are not well educated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of translated them into what I think they said, so don't quote me on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it was easier to kind of translate and speak it out rather than tell you, like, read it the way that they wrote them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the notes said, quote, "I murder so that I may come back." What freaks me out about that is that Mary's nickname was May.
Oh, okay.
The next one says, "We did murder Martin Brown. Fuck off, you bastard."
Whoa.
Yep. The next two have the F slur.
Mm.
I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The next one says, "Fuck off, we murder, watch out, Fanny," and F slur. And then the last one says, "You are mice. Why? Because we murdered Martin Brown. Look out, there are murderers about. Bye, Fanny," and old F slur, "you screws."
Wow.
But, like, imagine, I mean, that's awful in general, but a 10 and a 13-year-old writing that shit.
Yeah. It, like, makes it so much more disturbing because they're so aware of how wrong it is.
Yes.
And that, like, that's the freakiest part. You know what I mean? It's not like that was an accident at all. Like, that was completely deliberate and they're, like, almost proud of it. And that's the scary part because they're so young.
Right.
And they, like, know the consequences of their actions and they just, like, really don't care and are, like, proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, no one knew that it was them, like, up until the trials, basically, that did this. So that must have been fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, even knowing, the notes are online. You can see pictures of them. And mm-hmm. it's definitely children's handwriting. Mm-hmm. So that's just freaky in general.
Yeah.
So the police ended up dismissing this whole thing as a prank. And in the meantime, the nursery installed an alarm system, which then caught Mary and Norma on the premises several nights later. But they were just, like, trespassing, being assholes. And they were let off since they were only loitering. Also, they're 10 and 13, so no one's suspecting anything.
Right.
Well, 2 days after they broke in the nursery, Mary went to Martin's mother's house, and she asked if she could see him. And when they told Mary that Martin was dead, she said she knew that he was dead, but she wanted to see his body in the coffin.
Oh my gosh. That's terrifying. I hate that.
I would not have been able to contain myself. Like,
no.
I would have thrown something at her, honestly. I mean, they slammed the door in her face, but as a mother, like, I would not have been able to contain myself.
Mm-mm.
It's just so fucked up. I mean, he was 4.
He was a baby.
And this, like, 10-year-old is like, hey, can I see his body? What the fuck is that? So, by now, Mary started going around school saying she was the one who killed Martin, but because she was fucking crazy, no one believed her because she's basically known as, like, a compulsive liar and she's looking to impress everyone, but also, like, she strangles people and no one gives a shit about her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, on July 31st, 1968, Mary was outside riding bikes and playing with Norma, a 7-year-old boy named Norman Howe, and a 3-year-old named Brian Howe, who is Norman's brother, and then the Howe's dog, Lassie. Around 5 p.m., Pat Howe, Brian and Norman's sister, had come outside and asked Mary if she had seen Brian. So, basically, like, I think there were, like, 6 siblings in the Howe family, but there were no parents around, so it was just Pat, and she was only 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fucked up. Anyway, so Mary told Pat she hadn't seen Brian, but she helped Pat look for him along with Norma.
Brian was the little one, right?
Brian was the 4-year-old, yes.
Okay.
Or 3-year-old, I'm sorry, 3. At 7 p.m., after they couldn't find him, Pat decided it was time to call the police. And, oh, I forgot to write this down. There's this one point while they were searching, and Mary was like, oh, he might be over there. They were basically like these big concrete slabs that were standing up, right? And Mary was like, oh, he might be over there. And Norma, who had babysat him, was like, no, I know Brian. He wouldn't go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat was like, yeah, he wouldn't go over there. There's no reason that he would be over there.
Because she knew where he was.
They both did. Because at 11:10 p.m., Brian had been found dead on top of an old car between 2 large concrete slabs. The same ones that Mary had pointed out. He was covered in clumps of weeds and grass in an attempt to deliberately hide the body. The police were pretty much like, this was a really shitty attempt at trying to hide a body, basically, is what they said. His lips were blue, indicating he had been strangled. He had scratch marks on his nose. He had, at one point, was frothing at the mouth, but, like, bloody frothing at the mouth. And he had bruises and scratches on both sides of his neck.
Oh, man.
A pair of broken scissors was found laying next to his feet. And the most fucked up part about this whole thing is, as I said, Brian didn't have parents. However, remember Martin's aunt, Rita?
Mm-hmm.
She often took care of him because Brian was best friends with her son, John. So Rita lost 2 young family members.
Right.
She lost Martin and Brian.
Oh, man.
Who were, like, sons to her.
Right.
So the autopsy revealed that Brian had 5 puncture wounds on his left leg and 1 on his right leg. Trigger warning. His genitals had been mutilated and the letter M had been carved into his abdomen with a razor blade.
Oh my god.
From here on, it gets very Sylvia Likens. Between Brian's case and the upcoming events. And you'll see why. It's very Gertrude and Jenny. The pathologist concluded that Brian had been murdered by another child due to the lack of force and strangulation. And when adults strangle kids, unfortunately, it happened. They use way more force than necessary, but they noticed that, like, there was only enough force used to, like, just strangle him. Yeah, this all fucking sucks. It's going to get pretty graphic and detailed soon, because there's, like, actual quotes, and I felt it was important to read, but anyway. In the first 24 hours, over 1,000 homes were visited by police, and 1,200 families were given questionnaires to fill out.
Oh, wow.
On August 1st, Mary and Norma were questioned by police, as witnesses had seen them playing with Brian the day of his murder. They both admitted to playing with Brian that day, but denied seeing him after lunchtime.
Hmm.
The next day, Mary confessed that she had seen an 8-year-old boy playing with Brian the day of the murder, and that he had hit Brian for no reason.
I'm sure that was just a lie, right?
Yeah. No, 100%. Okay. She gave them a name, too, and they also said that the kid was carrying scissors.
Oh, gotcha.
And that is a detail that was not in the news or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, the suspicious boy was allegedly covered in grass and little purple flowers.
Hmm.
Whatever Brian was covered in. Yeah.
Yeah.
She then said she had seen this kid with... I already said the scissors. She had seen this kid with a broken pair of scissors trying to cut off a cat's tail.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. In the following days, this kid had been questioned, but he, his friends, and family all had an alibi for him, and it didn't seem like anything was being covered up.
Hmm.
Everything was, like, lining up exactly as it was supposed to. It wasn't like...
Right.
Everyone had the same... Because sometimes... When people are trying to cover something up, they all have the same verbatim story.
Yeah.
And it's like a rehearsed script type thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They were like, he was not involved. Like, this, yeah. She's pulling this out of her ass.
Right.
So on August 4th, around 8 p.m., Norma finally confessed something to the investigators.
Mm.
This is all one big quote. And feel free to, like, ask me to stop if you want to, like, talk about anything. Quote, I went with Mary Bell down to the blocks the day that Brian was lost, and I tripped over his head. When I went into the blocks, I tripped over something. I looked down and saw it was Brian's head. He was covered with grass, but I could see all his face. He was dead. Mary said, quote, I squeezed his neck and pushed up his lungs. That's how you kill them. Mary ran her fingers along his lips. She said she had enjoyed it. Mary showed me a razor and said she had cut his belly. She pulled his jersey up and showed me the tiny cut on his belly. She hid the razor under a block and told me not to tell my dad or she would get in trouble.
Oh my God.
It's a lot of fucking detail.
Yeah.
It's a lot of details that were not released.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a letter M that was on him.
What?
It's a letter M that was on
him. Well, she said... It was a tiny cut on his belly.
Gotcha. Okay.
But Norma then showed the investigators where the razor blade was hidden.
They hadn't found it yet?
No. So she took them to it.
Gotcha.
And she found it for them.
Oh.
So they would know that she's not bullshitting.
Right, right.
She also wrote a formal statement of pretty much everything that she had already said. And... The morning of August 5th, around 12:15 a.m., so literally, like, in the middle of the fucking night, Mary was taken back to the station with her aunt, and upon being questioned again, she denied everything and basically claimed that Norma always lied to get her into trouble. So she was like, oh, everything Norma said, it was the other way around? She actually did all that?
Hmm.
Yeah. And, that big quote, that was, a lot of it was paraphrased. I cut a lot out.
Right.
This one, you're going to want to stop me, like, partially through it, either for break or to talk about it, because this is a long quote. It's, like, half a page long. But a lot of the evidence is, like, circumstantial in this, and I felt like, to me, it was important to put this in. So the same day... August 5th, around 2 p.m., Norma gave her fourth statement to the police. So she had been, like, seeing the police back and forth. This is the fourth time.
Yeah.
Because she keeps saying, okay, I lied, here's more. Okay, I lied, here's more.
Oh, my
So this
gosh.
Time she finally tells the full truth.
Mm-hmm.
May said to Brian, quote, lift up your neck. She put her two hands on his neck. She said there was two lumps you had to squeeze right up. She said she meant to harm him. She got him down on the grass, and she seemed to go all funny. You could tell there was something the matter with her. She kept on struggling with him, and he was struggling and trying to get her hands away. She let go of him, and I could hear him gasping. She squeezed his neck again, and I said, May, leave the baby alone. But she wouldn't. She said to me, quote, My hands are getting thick. Take over. Then I ran away. I went back the way we had come. About 20 minutes later, or 20 minutes after... May came up and asked me to go back down. We went around by the car park. That was when I tripped over Brian's head, like I told you in the other statement. On the way down, May found a razor blade on the path. I didn't tell you before that when I lifted Brian's head and shoulders up a bit and patted his back, but his hand fell on one side and I laid him down again. I felt his pulse, but it wasn't going up and down. May pressed the razor blade down on Brian's belly a few times in the same place. She lifted his jersey, and that's when she did it. I didn't see any blood. That was when she hid the razor blade and said, "Don't tell your dad or I'll get wrong." The scissors were in the corner near the block, near the blocks beside Brian's feet where I left them. May said she would make him baldy, and she cut a lump of hair off his head near the front, and she put it on the grass above his head. She pressed the scissors onto his belly a few times, but not hard. She put the scissors on the grass somewhere beside him on the side where his dirty hand was.
It's so brutal, man. Like, it sucks because she understands the consequences of her actions, like I said before. Like, she understands what she's doing and she's enjoying it, which is super screwed up. But she's also a child, so it's so conflicting. It's like almost her nature just to do that, just to be evil.
Because of how she was nurtured.
Right, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is what sucks, because, like, it's all wrong. Don't get me wrong, it's awful. And, like, no child should do that, you know? Children don't do that. But no. It's not, like, something that's just black or white. Like, I feel very, very conflicted by it. And it sucks.
That's why I was texting you. And I was like, this sucks. Because
yeah.
There's not a single fucking adult involved here.
Right. Realistically, this could have been prevented after she was, like, strangling kids in the play yard.
Absolutely.
Like, someone could have stepped in and been like, this girl is obviously troubled. Kids don't do this. Let's see if we can get her some psychiatric help.
Yeah. Like, and then no one fucking did. And the police were like, we'll keep an eye out.
Because they're children.
Like, children fight. But it's like, not when literally every kid in school is terrified of her.
Right. And kids don't, like, joke about that kind of stuff. Really, you know what I mean? Like, kids don't lie about being strangled or being abused, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like, yeah, you mean like kids don't go home and like,
right, like make that stuff up, right? Because I feel like they're not exposed. I mean, they're not supposed to be exposed to that kind of stuff.
No, but they, like, if they hate someone, they'll go home and be like, oh, you threw this person threw sand in my face or kicked me to get them in trouble.
Right. But, like, tattling.
Yes, exactly. But they probably don't know the word strangled, so they're probably going home and saying, so-and-so choked me and wrapped their hands around my neck.
Right, right. Which should be taken seriously. I mean,
of course.
If I was, like, a police officer, you would think that they would have a little bit more, I feel like it,
common sense, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Common sense. Like, it,
I want to be like, oh, it's the 60s. But at the same time, it's like, that's a child.
Yeah.
Like, children, first of all, that's a child that's hurting other people. And second, children are getting hurt.
Right.
That should be a fucking concern to you.
Right. Right.
And in my head, I'd be like, okay, what kind of abuse is going on in this home where this child is learning that strangulation is okay?
Right. Where did this child learn how to strangle other children? And why does this child get enjoyment from that, more importantly?
So fucked. And it's because her primal years were, of being sexually abused. Because mm-hmm. her mother, Mary said pretty much verbatim that her mother was a dominatrix in the sex work world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure she was exposed to way more than just, I don't want to say just sexual assault, because it's not what I mean.
She was exposed to a lot of different forms of abuse.
Yeah.
I feel like. From being abused and maybe also from watching her mom.
My thoughts are, like, instead of it just being, like, just standardized sexual abuse that people think of, I'm thinking that she went through more of, like, a obviously very, very, very non-consensual form of BDSM. Like, a very rapey and creepy form of BDSM.
Gotcha.
If she described her own mother as a dominatrix.
Yeah.
that's what I'm imagining. So I'm sure she was exposed to painful things that older people see as kinks.
Right, right.
I guess that's the best way that I can put it without sounding like a fucking dick. And I hope that no one, like, is taking that the wrong way. Do you get what I'm saying? I feel like...
I understand what you're touching upon.
Like, I guess my point is, like, people aren't always vanilla. Yeah. And...
Yeah.
If you're having a mother that you're describing as a dominatrix, her clients are probably not very vanilla people.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. Not that there's anything wrong with that in general, but when it's abusive and non-consensual, you know, thing, it's... Yeah. I know what you mean. Right.
Okay. One thing I did want to say is, like, I'm at least glad... I'm not happy that he died by any means, but I'm happy that Brian was at least not alive when she was carving into his abdomen.
Yeah, I agree.
Just fucking brutal. So I'm on my last page, thankfully. We're almost done with this. Mary went back in for questioning, and she had said that Norma murdered Brian. Surprise, fucking surprise.
Mm.
Mary was arrested for Brian's murder, and upon being told she was being arrested, she responded, quote, "That's all right with me."
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Imagine getting arrested and being like, yeah, that's fine.
So screwed.
Well, Norma was then arrested a few minutes later.
Oh?
And while Mary showed no emotion, Norma was terrified and crying.
Mm.
I would also like to point out, like, with this whole thing, now that I've gotten through the quotes and stuff, do you see what I mean? It's like very Gertrude and Jenny. Like, yeah. Norma seems to be so scared of Mary.
Yeah.
That she felt she had no other choice than to just watch and keep her mouth shut.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to spoil this for you now. Like, Norma doesn't get any jail time. She's acquitted for everything, which she never got into trouble ever again for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
From what I've read. So.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of the articles or books that I've read or skimmed through have pointed her to be just like this horrible fucking child torturer.
Like they did with Jenny, too.
Like, the, and yes. Sylvia and Likens. I'm like... She's older, but she's still 13 years old. She's a child.
And I feel like because all the other kids didn't get to know Mary, I feel like they were just scared of her. And I feel like Norma maybe got to know her on a different level and like saw how actually scary she was. And out of fear of knowing what she could do, like just decided to hang around, you know?
Right. Well, and she was her neighbor, so it's not like she didn't know where she lived.
Right, exactly.
There's so many more layers than just being good or bad. Like you said, this case is not black and white. There's so many. I mean, was it wrong of her to not inform the police right away when she found out that she had murdered Martin? Yeah, that probably wasn't great. But she's a child. Mm-hmm. If she was a grown-ass adult, it'd be entirely different.
Right.
I mean, I'll get into it because there is a whole, like, psychology portion of this case. But I'm stuck between, like, can we hold children accountable for traumatic experiences like this?
Hmm.
Or, like, a traumatic experience of knowing your best friend just murdered another child? Right. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't know because I'm not in that situation.
Yeah.
You know? You'd never know until you're there. And
right.
I think people are just way too judgmental towards Norma for this whole thing.
I feel like, and I could be very wrong about this, so let me know what you think. But I feel like also as a child, like, granted she was 13, still a child, and you have a little bit better, like, perception of, I mean, death and murder and concepts like that. But I feel like still as a child, you don't truly understand consequences, I feel like. And so I think maybe, like, her hesitation in telling the police, like, could have just been, like, maybe she didn't realize just how bad it is, like, how bad it is to murder someone, you know what I mean? Like, obviously she knows that that's bad, but, like, maybe the fear of Mary was, like, kind of overpowering that, and, like, that fear was a lot more important. And, like, she wanted to protect herself, you know, like, the protection of herself against Mary, I think, was more important in her mind, maybe, than trying to inform the police, because, I don't know, I feel like I was a dumb kid, so like I wouldn't, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like I wouldn't like think about she's gonna get arrested, she's gonna go to jail, she's gonna serve time. You know what I mean? Like my thing would be like, she just killed someone and I'm the closest person to her. So if I tell someone, what if she comes for me?
Right.
You know?
Right. And to go back on what you were saying about her like having a child's brain and not understanding certain consequences or whatever, my next note is that psychological evaluations of the girls had shown that Norma was intellectually delayed.
Oh, wow.
And over emotional. I say it later, so I'm not going to like say it right now, but she is mentally significantly younger than 13. And then the psychological evaluation had shown that Mary had psychopathic personality disorder.
That checks out.
Yep. I would say so.
That checks out.
So on December 5th, 1968, Norma and Mary began trial for the murders of Martin Brown and Brian Howe. The judge waived their rights to anonymity. I forgot to look up how to say that. But anonymity? Basically,
anonymous? What?
Anonymity? Basically, their rights to stay anonymous on account of their age because of how brutal the crimes were.
Yeah.
The prosecution's opening statement lasted 6 fucking hours.
What?
And I'm like, if I were a prosecutor on a crime like this, where it's, like we said, very much not black and white, I would not want my opening statement to be 6 goddamn hours because people are going to hate me just for my statement being that long.
That's like...
How do you have 6 hours of shit worth to say? Shut your mouth. Basically, during this opening statement, he explained the similarities in both murders and evidence that pointed towards the girls being guilty. So, basically, at this point, they had nothing to convict. I forgot to, like, mention this. There's really no explanation on how Mary got connected to Martin's murder, but basically just that, like, two murders happened within 2 months and seemed like because... Why Martin's was deemed an accident was because he, like, there wasn't enough force to be deemed a strangulation, and, like, so there were other similarities that kind of connected them, so they were just charging them for both. So on the fifth day of trial, it was Norma's day to testify, and she had denied having any involvement in the actual murder of either child, but she did admit that she and Mary had discussed attacking and killing children. So she is being very, very open and honest. She also said that Mary had demonstrated to her how children should be killed.
Oh my God.
Mary then testified following Norma on December 12th, and her testimony lasted 4 hours. The entire time she was testifying, she blamed Norma for Brian's death. Norma's mother then testified that several months before either murders, she found Mary trying to strangle their younger daughter, Susan.
Oh my gosh.
Allegedly, Mary only stopped once Norma's dad punched her in the shoulder.
Oh my God.
So she had literally tried to strangle her best friend's younger sister.
Yeah.
And she was like, I know what my daughter did was wrong, but this bitch literally tried to strangle her best friend's sister.
Yeah.
So a psychiatrist then testified that while Norma's mental age was 7 years younger... Wow. Than her physical age, it's evident that she knows right from wrong.
Yeah.
On December 13th, Norma's defense counsel stated during his closing argument that while the girls were defending together, they were not being tried together, that the only evidence against Norma was Mary's word. Which, who the fuck is going to believe her? Mary's counsel's closing argument stated that basically she was severely abused and neglected, and she never learned right from wrong. He also used her diagnosis to say that her idea of right and wrong were impaired. After 9 days of trial, the jury deliberated for a total of 3 hours and 25 minutes. And on December 17th, Mary was convicted of manslaughter of both boys, and Norma was acquitted of all charges. Mary was sentenced to be detained until the powers felt it was appropriate for her to be released. So basically, once they felt that she had been... like, rehabilitated.
Gotcha.
And this is what I mean, like, all of her shit is learned behaviors because she very quickly grew out of that. In 1969, she was being held in a facility where there were only 23 other inmates, but they were all men. And she was only 13, and she was being sexually abused by the staff and inmates during her time there.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. So the prison guards and the inmates were both sexually assaulting her.
What the hell? What the hell? Why was she in a place with all men?
I don't know if it's because of the severity of her crime. She bounced from like 7 different facilities, though. So she was then transferred through to other prisons. And then in September 1977, she escaped with another inmate, Annette Priest. They were caught within a few days and they lost prison privileges for a month. In May 1980, at 23 years old, she was given a new name. And, she was given a new name and she was released. So she was in prison for 13 years and she was released.
Right.
In 1984, she gave birth to a daughter who didn't know of her mother's crimes until she was 14. And in May 2003, Mary went to the High Court and was granted anonymity. Someone's going to make fun of me for that. For her and her daughter for life. So basically her and her daughter were able to change names for life. Because what had happened was her daughter, because she was under Mary's custody, was up until she was 18, like a child.
Yeah.
And then once she turned 18, like her name wasn't private anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went to the High Court and they were like, we want our names to be changed for life.
Right. So really quick, after she was released, she didn't commit any other crimes or anything?
Nope. My very last note says Mary took responsibility of her crimes and has freely admitted that the abuse she suffered as a child doesn't excuse what she did to those boys.
Wow.
So prison reformed her.
Surprise, surprise.
It's because it's not in the States.
Yeah. I mean that like sarcastically in the way that like that's not, you don't usually hear about that.
No, I know. I know. But that's what I mean. It just takes someone to teach you right from wrong. Yeah. And she wasn't getting that.
And she still suffered abuse in prison, too.
I'm just glad prison was able to reform someone. Yeah. I'm not excusing what she did. I'm not
praising not. Her well,
for being a good person.
Right. And I feel like it's two very separate things because,
yes. Like, I just don't want anyone to be like, meh.
She's a bad person, but also, like, nobody deserves to be abused like that.
No. Not in the slightest. And honestly, I think 100%, if she were not abused growing up, I think this would have been completely avoided.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. That's so crazy. I, like, don't know how to feel. Like, I'm glad she freaking owned up to her actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, she's right. Like, it's not an excuse for, like, killing two little boys.
Right.
And she realizes that, which is good. But there's like so many, I feel like there's so many factors that just like are a part of this that make it such a emotionally confusing case.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know how to feel. Like, I don't feel good. You know, it's not one of those things where you're like, okay, like there is a resolution.
Yeah.
But it also makes me so extremely sad that it had to be at the cost of like two little boys who
yes,
barely got to even
live their lives,
have a chance at life. Yeah. And then I can't even imagine how the families felt to have their babies taken from them so soon by another child.
It's somehow worse for me that it was another child that mm-hmm. did that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I think it's just because I think of children as, I just think of them as the epitome of innocence. And
yeah. And it makes me my heart break for Mary because she never got innocence ever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't get a childhood. She didn't get, all she knew was this dark, dark world. And she also got that taken away from her. And then she took it away from other people.
Because she didn't know how else to live.
Right, right.
I was just gonna say,
I'm curious what her daughter thought when she did find out.
What I know, they're still in touch. Like, they're still close. Like, I always say it's ignorant to believe that people can't change.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I, in general, like, I know people who are, like, really shitty people who used to be really shitty, and then they changed, mm-hmm. and now they're not shitty people anymore. I'm not going to hold them to the shitty things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the fuck I'd feel if I found out they murdered two children, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not the same, but there was something I was going to say, and I completely forget what it was.
I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Oh, I remember. Because something like I say a lot is that I feel bad for when we talk about serial killers or just killers in general or horrible people in general, how their childhoods were shitty. And I always feel bad for the childhood them and what they had to go through as a child.
Mm.
But this time, like, she went through it as a child and then committed the crimes as a child. So yeah. I'm like, do I? Of course I feel bad. I'm an empath. It's a child. She was hurt. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so angry that she did what she did.
Yeah.
Regardless of her age, you know?
Yeah.
No, because no one should ever have to go through that. But it, as she said, it doesn't excuse what she did.
Right.
But basically, I think, like, the only person who knows her identity is the woman who wrote those two books that I was telling you that I couldn't remember the names of.
Mm-hmm.
Because she did end up writing two books about her. I'm going to look them up right now. So this one is called Cries Unheard, Why Children Kill. And this one is, I just skimmed through them to kind of get like an idea of her childhood. So that's Cries Unheard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I downloaded one called, it's just called The Case of Mary Bell. And then the author is, I want to say this right, I think it's Gitta Sereny, so Gittasereny. Basically, like, she's done several interviews with Mary, and the goal of her books is basically to try to humanize her and explain that, you know, people can change type of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
if you feel like reading those, they're good. But yeah, that's everything. It's a lot.
Wow.
It was too much for me. I did all that research today, too. I don't know why I did that to myself.
It's a lot for a day. Good job, though.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I spent probably 6 hours on this research.
Oh, my God. I don't know how you do that.
I don't either. Because I'm mentally ill.
It takes me at least a week to, like, get stuff done.
If I don't give myself zero time to do things, I will not do them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, oh, I'm out of time. I need to do it right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how my brain works. But I want to share, because earlier today I was talking to you. We were just talking about how, like, shitty people are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, what the fuck did I say? Because we both laughed at it. Hold on. We're going to have to go back through, like, 1,000 messages because we don't ever stop texting. Oh, we were talking about our baby pictures.
Oh, my God. We should post those.
Orange cat behavior.
Yeah. Oh my God. My cat today was like going crazy and was just scream meowing.
Oh, okay. Basically, I was telling her like how horrible the case is and I was apologizing for it. And she goes, no, it's okay. I mean, it's what we do. And I said, ruin people's lives. And she goes, exactly. Yes, it keeps them coming. And then I said, I may be mentally ill, but at least I haven't committed a felony. And she said, that's all we're looking for.
Oh, I feel like you can't do this and not be mentally ill. Like, no mentally stable person would be like, you know what I want to do is spend Let's talk about hours murdering of ghosts. Research. Yeah. Let's talk about terrible people doing very dark things.
Speaking of hours that we're putting into things. Why are you laughing at me? Because I had to restart my sentence because I'm an idiot.
Oh no.
Just since my mental health has been getting better, I've realized I'm spending the same amount of time on the podcast that I usually do. I think I'm just more aware of it because I've been so, I don't want to say mentally stable because that's not true, but aware, I guess. I spend probably like 25, 30 hours a week on this fucking podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to say that anyway, just because I was estimating, but like, I truly spend probably 30 hours a week on this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get to sit around and watch documentaries, but like, at what cost? I like that we said that together. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Well, because I've been slacking on the Instagram so bad. But, like, between taking notes, editing, and fixing the fucking technical difficulties left and right.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Actually recording. Yeah. No, it's a ton. And, I mean, like, I don't spend nearly that much time because I feel like I mean, I don't edit and I don't. Well, until this recent case that I was working on, I didn't really watch documentaries, but I can't do it for a long period of time because I'm just like, oh my God. Like, when I did, I think the most time that I put into a case was probably the Evelyn Nesbitt.
Yep.
The Madison Square Garden thing, because I mean, it was very interesting and it was horrible, but I don't know what it was about that case that just like drew me in so much. I think because it was just so interesting, but like I would like sit down and like work for like an hour or two each night and I would just be like, oh my, I can't do this. I can't do this. And that wasn't even, I mean, granted, it was terrible. It was a bad case. Yeah, they all are.
Oh yeah, they're all fucking horrible.
But it wasn't nearly as bad as something like this. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as like crazy to me, at least. And but even then, I was like just like reading into all this stuff and like going through all the articles and everything. It was just like, oh my God, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you can just like power through and like
get mental all illness.
Done. Yeah, I'm like not. I've well, this week I've also been busy, but
here's the hint.
This week haven't.
I've actually been consistently taking my antidepressants lately.
Whoa, nice.
Yes. That's why I've been able to. No, but honestly, it's because I, like, desensitized myself accidentally.
Oh.
And then on top of it, like, taking my antidepressants, I have motivation and also know too much about the true crime world to be super depressed about it.
Yeah.
Without sounding so much like an asshole, but, like.
No. I get that.
I've gotten to the point where I've stopped letting everything bring me down, I guess, is the best way I can explain it.
Gotcha. Speaking of medication, I think I'm being prescribed ADD medication this week.
Fucking finally.
Let's see how that goes. I know. I'm going to be less annoying. Just kidding. Not really. I'm just going to be able to focus.
I would literally hate my life if you turned in, or if I turned into the annoying one. Like, if you got a medication and stopped being annoying, I'm going to be so pissed.
I don't think that's how that works, though. Like, I think I'm still going to be very annoying. I'm just going to be, like, more focused.
No, because...
like, that's how I imagine it.
We literally had a conversation today, and I said something. I think I was just, like, was it last night or this morning? It was last night. I was just spamming you about hot chocolate, and you weren't answering, and I just kept texting you. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I'm so annoying.
No.
I know, because I'm just fucking obnoxious. And who the fuck else do I talk to? And so I was talking to her, I was just sending random texts about hot chocolate. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I don't want to wake Justin with the microwave, and like the Keurig's too loud, and I also don't want watery hot chocolate. Just like all these fucking texts. She takes like an hour to respond. She's like, you're not annoying. And I was like, yes, I am. And then she was like, no. And I was like, I think both of us are annoying, but not to each other. Like, I think we annoy other people, but I don't think we annoy each other. And she was like, yeah, that seems to add up.
Yeah. That's why we get along so well.
We share same brain cells.
Yes. I saw this TikTok the other day, and I wish I could remember who it was. But it was this person. They were like... like, it was, like, this video about, I don't know, something happened. And then, like, at the end, they go, I have rock for brain. And I was, like,
that's
it
us.
Made me laugh so hard. Because I was, like, I have a rock for brain. I do.
Can we?
Also.
Really no, what quickly, were you going to say first? Mine's
really
stupid.
Quickly. There's Mine's this TikTok. I just need. This is also stupid. There's this TikTok. Okay. And if anybody knows what TikTok I'm talking about, then if you're on this side of TikTok, I know you don't have TikTok, I'm talking to the audience.
I know.
This has been on my For You page for like at least a week and a half, but it's this video of this person filming their cat and they go, piggy dipping at the piggy pond. You went sausage swimming in the water bowl, you dip your fat toes in there. Chubba Bun, and it's like their cat, like you put their paws in the water and left little paw prints all around the house. But that sound has been stuck in my head, and like randomly, I'll be doing nothing, and in my head I'm like piggy dipping at the piggy bun. I don't know, that's completely unrelated, but.
I was just gonna point out the fact that we're both wearing gray shirts today, and I thought that was cute. Oh yeah,
look at my pit stain.
Oh. Well, mine's a brand new shirt. Justin gave it to me as a late Christmas gift because I guess it took 2 months to come in the mail.
Aww.
It's a Louise shirt, another Bob's Burger shirt. So now I got two Bob's Burger shirts for Christmas.
I saw it was a Bob's Burger shirt. I love that so much.
It's the many moods of Louise, and it's a different face for each mood.
I like that a lot. I really like that.
I also like that a lot.
I've ruined my Bob's Burger shirt because it's gray. I can't own gray. I think that's, like, the conclusion that I've come to because I have the pit. I don't have the pits for it. Yeah.
You don't have the capacity?
You're so funny. Shut up. I'm kidding.
I would die.
I'm kidding. No, but my armpits sweat way too much for some. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how people can own gray shirts and be able to, like, live in them. Because my Bob's Burger shirt, I hate you.
I don't get pit sweat.
All my, I'm just, like, a sweaty individual. I always have been. And, like, no amount. I've tried deodorant. Trust me. I've gotten medical strength. It does not work for me. And all my gray shirts are ruined. And I'm always so afraid. Like, sorry. Another off-topic thing. My mom got me a cashmere sweater. Oh, right. I don't know why. And I'm so scared to wear it. I don't want to ruin it, but I know that I will. So it might just sit in my closet until I die, and then I'll wear it on my deathbed where I can't sweat it. I was just saying
you can wear it to my wedding, but you'll be sweating at my wedding.
Yeah, I'll be sweating and crying and sweating at your wedding. And sweating.
Hey, at least it'll all be one color then. That much sweat and tears. You just need some blood, sweat and tears, and then it's fine.
Well, I can bleed.
No thanks.
I'm sorry. I think it's time for us to go. I think we're both overtired. Thanks for listening.
Are you gonna do the thing?
Yeah, you want me to?
Well, yeah. I mean, you said thanks for listening, but usually we say bye after that. You can. Okay, I'll do it. You can follow us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP. What?
I was waiting to see if you had anything else to say. That's why.
No, you say it then.
Okay. You can follow us on Instagram at Your Worst Nightmare TCP. We post memes sometimes. You can also follow us on Twitter. Don't give me the furious octopus. I'm sorry. I was trying to be considerate. You can follow us on Twitter at Nightmare TCP, and you can stay tuned for a possible live thing there. Where you can ask us questions about our lives and listen to us talk. And you can email us at yourworstnightmaretcp@gmail.com and send us any case suggestions or stories that you've gone through. If you just want to say hi, come say hi to us. And if you are looking to help us out in a little bit of a different way, if you want to maybe financially support us in this podcast, we did some math the other day and it's going to take us a while to
pay off our debts of the microphones and the subscription to get our equipment. Podcast out.
So if you want to help us out there, which would be greatly appreciated, you can subscribe to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/yourworstnightmaretcp. And we're also hoping to get some other stuff on there, but you can catch our podcasts right after they're edited, get them uploaded right there. Maybe you don't have to wait till Saturday.
Yes. Usually you have to wait till Saturday, but it's usually at like between 5 and 7 p.m. instead of 10 p.m. So
5 hours earlier, dude. A couple Come hours on. Early.
And also the show notes that I type usually because Addie usually forgets them.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Okay. So really quick. I have like all of my notes in one document and I
Oh right, because you're like, a crazy person. Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
I just want to have them all in one place.
So you can have all my notes if you subscribe to
me. maybe I'll send those to you at some point.
And also then you just get insider texts from us. Because we've been screenshotting just like weird conversations that we have that we thought you guys might enjoy. So we will be putting that up too.
Yep. All right. I think that's it. Thank you so much for listening. Spending time with us this week.
Oh, yes. And we'll keep you updated on the Etsy shop. Please send us emails of stuff that you would like to see. Right now I'm working on like masks and t-shirts, hoodies and stuff. But if there's anything like fun you would like to see, please let us know, because we'll take literally any ideas at this point.
I crochet, so
I paint and make pretty much everything. I want to make snow globe tumblers really, really bad. So
those would be so cute.
Also, please donate to the Patreon so we can afford supplies to do those things.
Yes. Also, I just want to say Happy New Year, everyone, from
Fuck you.
The podcast.
No, from you. Don't even start this again. You gaslit me. You gaslit me on Twitter.
The girls may or may not have been fighting on the timeline last week.
Listen, right. No, because you were like, we say Happy New Year. I did no such fucking thing. I do not wish people a Happy New Year. I'm the same bitch. New Year is a fucking concept, okay?
It's a fun concept.
Shut up.
I'm starting fresh. My New Year's resolution is to stop ruining my gray shirts.
So your New Year's resolution is to get better deodorant, is what you're saying?
No.
Yes.
All right, let's leave.
We need to go. This is too much. I'm sorry. please don't stop listening because of this. I love you guys so much. I'm so sorry. I'm getting way too comfortable on here. It's like when people are like, y'all way too comfortable on this app. That's me with this fucking podcast. So now I really need to go. It's the fact that our analytics are going up, the more I embarrass myself.
There's a correlation.
I love you guys. Have a good week. Stay tuned for next Saturday and for any life updates on our social media. Okay, bye.
Have a good week. Bye.